I used to teach in Delhi University. I've read and taught there for something like 7 years. I was a student of modern Indian history, still am, doing research on a project called Social History of Language of Hindi Cinema. And when Sarai started, it was looked like a very exciting idea, and there were friends, so I also joined in and have been here since then. Since its inception, actually. And last 1.5 years back, I joined CSDS as well, which is the paternal body.
Which is the
Center for the Study of Developing Societies, which was set up in the 1960s by social scientists like Rajini Kothari and others. There are other famous names that you might have heard of, Ashish Nandi, and so Sarai was given a place here, and it started off as a project, became a program, and I was looking after the language projects here, under which we try to produce content in Hindi for whosoever was interested in history and politics of media, and media included everything for us, from radio to internet. Then we also did a lot of localization. We produced literature on the city, written also by people who are not professional writers. So our localization effort was a kind of pioneer effort, wherein we collaborated with IndLinux and other free software communities in India. And we did GNOME, KDE, all of that. And so Wikipedia was a kind of natural choice for us. When we heard of it, we became a kind of evangelists for Wikipedia as well. And also drawing from my experience, you know, of teaching in Delhi University, I felt that there a lot of content that people generate gets wasted or remains confined to certain, you know, for the purpose usage, and after that there is no recycling of that knowledge. It gets wasted. So for example, Delhi University History Department, where I used to teach, most of the students are Hindi medium students, and lectures are mostly given in English. Books, all the good books are in English. So there is an everyday effort to translate stuff. And people translate and they make tutorials. And they put in a lot of energy in translation, because there is no ready-made resource to fall back on when you are translating social science or media or technology, such specialized terms. And even the effort that was made by Government of India a long time back in the 50s to create scientific and technological terms, or social science terms, they are dated, they are very Sanskritized. So we picked up the middle path. We advocated Hindustani as the middling language of Hindi cinema, as the middling language which all the people on the roadside use in their everyday conversation, which has been the language of post-satellite media, and language also of creativity by and large in literature, if you leave aside literary criticism in Hindi, which could be very Sanskritistic. So that's the kind of language we try to use. We found that is the process, because computer was, we thought computer would be a mass media connected to the internet, so it should be the language used by computer should be actually a popular language. So that's how we went about it, and there were many takers. People liked our khichdi mixed language. So that's the background.
What do you think, Ravikant, of the state of Hindi language publishing in India? Both from on the popular front and on the scholarly front.
Hindi language publishing is not doing as well as it should have, considering the huge numbers we have, considering the demands that we have. My belief is that not a single page which gets printed and published in Hindi goes unread. There's such a huge population to devour that, waiting to that. There's a huge hunger for knowledge. And all the institutions that we have, even publishing institutions, are not able to cater to them. They are still dependent on the old network of, you know, government offices, libraries, and that, you know, sale and whatever discount network that was set up, license network that was set up long time back. And they are not trying to enhance their network. Raj Kamal Prakashan, for example, which is a leading publishing house in Hindi, has offices only in three places: in Delhi, in Allahabad, and in Patna. And it's really difficult. They also go to fairs, they go to melas in different parts. But I don't think people can, you know, find, even in Delhi, you can't find Raj Kamal books so easily. And a lot of, I think, even the trade, I don't think, has really understood this hunger for Hindi books. Penguin has now entered, Yatra has entered. These people, new people, are coming in. And there are smaller publishers coming up in smaller towns with computers. You know, everything is easy, publishing is easy. So lots of people are doing it. So there is a definite upswing of publishing houses and books in recent years. But I don't think that it's very well networked.
In terms of the numbers of people who speak Hindi, what is the rough sort of percentage of the population of this country?
People say something like 40%, definitely.
And so, you know, there are roughly over 500 million people in this country who speak and understand Hindi.
Yeah.
Will you just repeat that statistic? 500 million?
No. Yeah, something like 40%, 500 million people would understand Hindi. And but Hindi, what do we mean by Hindi? You know, one has to really break it down. A lot of people who cannot read Hindi would speak in their own local languages like, you know, Mathili, Bhojpuri, Maghi, the language that I speak at home, which is Maghi, Kumaoni, Garhwali, Haryanvi, all these, you know. All these languages actually lost out to Hindi. And it happened at the moment when print came about. It was also the age of nationalism. So nation was trying to imagine itself and for itself a new language. Imagine itself in a new language, which was Hindi. So all these bigger languages actually, Brajbhasha had a huge repertoire of poetry, for example, Avadhi too had. Ramcharitmanas, which is the best seller so far in Hindi, the biggest bestseller. No book has sold more copies than Ramcharitmanas in Hindi. In Avadhi, it was. So all these languages, they kind of also sacrificed. They undertook a kind of cultural sacrifice for the cause of Hindi, as did the speakers of other languages like Marathi, Kannada, Tamil, Telugu. They all said, okay, because, you know, Hindi is a big, Hindi represents a big population. We also recognize the strength of Hindi, which was backed by, of course, Gandhi and others as well. So that was the, that has been the historic development. But let's, you know, let's not look at print only. Let's look at the cultural production in other areas. Like Peter Manuel makes this point magnificently in his book, Cassette Culture. Bhojpuri, Haryanvi, and all these languages became suddenly very visible. Of course, they were represented. They were represented as performative languages on radio, before that on gramophone. But all of a sudden, because cassette was a different technology, which anybody could use to produce songs. So all of a sudden, Bhojpuri became visible. So you had a market you had a musical market which looked as much non-filmy. So much non-filmy for the first time in history. because it has been, musical market has been monopolized by CDs made it easier. So now you can see people making films in all these other languages that had lost the race at the moment of print in the 19th century to Hindi.
You know, you talk about, you were talking to me earlier about a print moment and how Indian languages, and in particular Hindi or Hindustani, lost out. When do you feel that losing out happened? What are your thoughts on the obvious disparity between the circulation of Hindi knowledge and the formal articulation of Hindi knowledge in books? You were talking about ways in which we can circumvent that by going into the audiovisual.
Yeah. Because there has been a first question first, the issue of Hindustani and Hindi. Hindiwalas tried to imagine themselves as a Puritan people who imagined a glorious past, and they connected themselves more to Sanskrit. They imagined Urdu as a foreign language because of the script it followed, because of the vocabulary, a different kind of vocabulary that it had. But if you actually look hard at it, the difference between Hindi and Urdu is nothing but that of the script, just the script. Any language would have various registers and would have a range, a whole spectrum of usage. You can have specialist usage and you can have non-specialist usage. But the big chunk in the spectrum, the middling chunk, is represented by what we would call Hindustani. Hindustani was unacceptable to both Urduwalas and Hindiwalas. All the battles starting in the 19th century, actually, they both went either for Urdu or for Hindi, because it became a question of identity, religious identity, and it also became a battle of, you know, territorial capture. So Hindi moved in to capture the courts first, then the journalistic space, literary space, etc., etc., and the middling language became a no man's land language, and Gandhi was left almost alone. There were some people who supported Hindustani. But Hindustani was the language of radio, and Hindustani was the language of cinema, as it was the language of the army and of the people of Parsi theater before that. So it was very much a popular language, and it has survived as that. But all the academia, which was kind of divided into Hindi and Urdu, they started writing a different language, led by the government commissions and Hindi departments, Hindi directorates, etc., and institutes. They tried to impose a particular kind of Hindi, and they thought that they would imagine the language anew. No language can be invented overnight. It takes a lot of time. And nowadays, of course, you can find with a passage of 60, 70 years, you can find people who can, you know, speak that dream, impeccable Hindi, which is full of Sanskrit words, but still you can find a lot of Urdu words there,
right?
Arabic Persian words, that is, because for me Hindi and Urdu are not two different languages. So that's the trajectory. The question of lag will always be there. Hindi cannot hope to compete with English, which is a world language, which gets fed up from so many constituencies, which has a huge backing of knowledge and resources. You know, so. Even if we are very good, say, even if we are half as good as the Chinese are in translating stuff from English into Chinese, like in a week's time, okay. Even if we are that quick, we would never be able to catch up from Indian language perspective. Still, I mean, Hindi, the knowledge production, academic knowledge production is not great. It's bad than Malayalam. It's bad than, it's worse than Malayalam and worse than this Bengali, I would say. Tamil, definitely. So the reason is that the people who do things in Hindi do not really do other professional things. So people who are doing technology would do technology in English and not in Hindi. People who would move high up in academia doing history, they would have to do it in English, and not Hindi would not do beyond a point. But that raises a, you know, larger question about knowledge construction and knowledge transmission and distribution in general. Just as Hindi overshadowed so many, you know, constituencies, linguistic constituencies, knowledge also got, you know, because the knowledge is also distributed according to languages. There is definitely a boundary created, and the publics are also constituted according to linguistic boundaries. So all these languages that lost out or sacrificed for Hindi would still, you know, have all the wisdom of the world, right? And we, because Hindi is emulating the academic protocols envisioned or popularized or normalized by English academia, so to speak, there cannot be direct transfer between knowledge produced in these languages and knowledge produced in English. And Hindi too, actually, a large part of knowledge produced in Hindi does not follow the protocols of research. For example, you might be surprised to find that there is not a single refereed journal to this date that is published in Hindi. So how do people, you know, researchers validate themselves? How do they publish books? Do their books get pre-reviewed before publication, etc.? Absolutely not. And one of the plans that we have here is of, you know, bringing out one such journal where people can, you know, publish refereed articles. But that would still leave out a huge chunk of population which does not really read and write in Hindi, but would still have lots of things to say, lots of things to show in their own languages. And we'll have to, you know, at Wikipedia or wherever, we'll have to innovate so that we include that knowledge, so that we speak to the rest of the world with that kind of knowledge. Because if Wikipedia is everybody's encyclopedia, is and it's not an expert's encyclopedia, and it is, and if it is to go on increasing its own knowledge base, then the future lies not just with the written word, but with the audiovisual word, which is where a lot of that knowledge still stays, gets transferred from one generation to another with alterations, with changes, with modifications. A lot of things get forgotten, a lot of things get added, but it's still, you know, for any surviving language of millions, and I'm speaking about many languages that have millions, so we'll have to, you know, do some innovation there to bring that in. We did several kinds of things. One was two series we launched in Hindi as Sarai. One was called Diwane Sarai, like Sarai Reader in English. But we realized that we are addressing a different audience. Still, we thought, why can't we give, you know, the state-of-the-art knowledge in Hindi? For example, internet is being increasingly used by new people, younger generation, and of course, a lot of them would be Hindi speakers. So they would be interested in free software, they would be interested in what is the politics of internet, what is the politics behind piracy and stuff like that. So we did all that, but we thought we should also give something that is popular, and we should package it in a kind of language which is familiar, not just language, but also style. So Hindi has a very rich literary heritage, and it's getting bigger and bigger with each passing year. So poetry, short stories, novels, lots of people are writing very good stuff, actually. And a lot of this remains invisible. But that's another point. The point is that we said that we would, you know, mix a bit of literature, mix a bit of literary style when we want to serve it in Hindi. Only then it would be acceptable to the people. Because there was no big tradition of social science publishing. There were textbooks published everywhere, from Allahabad to Bhopal, everywhere people are publishing textbooks. But if you look at carefully at the textbooks, they are actually rewritings of you know, books that date back something like 30 years, 40 years. So old books are getting reproduced in Hindi. And they are moving at the pace at which the syllabi in these smaller universities move. So we thought that we will have to be will have to invent new terms. Translating something like Jacques Rancière was a real challenge. Just as, you know, translating Lux Media Collective or Ravi Vasudevan or Ravi Sundaram could be a real challenge, because they are coming up with, or Lawrence Liang, you know, they are coming up, they are exploring new areas. But you have to struggle with that. You have to think out of box, you have to think of new terms, you have to invent new terms, you have to constantly refine it. It's possible that these are not perfect translations. It's possible that there are places where you have translated, over-translated passages, there are passages where you have under-translated stuff. It's possible you're also addressing a different audience. Huh? So you keep, what you have to keep in mind is that this is going somewhere. So we worked at the little nuances, little backgrounds, and we tried to give some extra information. We tried to explain the terms, the new terms that were used. We also checked with Jacques Rancière himself when he was here. We had a discussion with him on certain terms that we did not understand, because it had a particular French context. It had it was embedded there. So we tried to basic. There is no shortcut for this. You have to work at it. So if a translator has given you a translation of Wolfgang Schimmelbusch, which is a history of modern lighting in Europe, fascinating history, social history book. We thought we would bring it, because as a student, I imagined I would have missed a book like this when I was studying history. The whole, you know, story of Industrial Revolution is actually incomplete without this kind of book. So we asked a translator who worked for us for years to translate this, and then a couple of editors would sit. And just as we, you know, took our translations of desktops, terms, those things into the public domain before uploading those as final versions, we would usually hold workshops, do a lot of discussions. So the process was a bit slow, no doubt, but ensure. Yeah.
But kind of like Wikipedia.
But it's like, it is collaborative. It has to be collaborative. Because before you are going to take it out to the world, you might as well take it out to the world that you know. So it was very much collaborative, like Wikipedia. And we put all our books online. I think the future lies to innovate on a very large scale, on the Wikipedia scale, if we want to really bridge this knowledge gap across universities. I don't know what is happening with this huge project which came out of Knowledge Commission. It's called the Translation Mission. If you go to the website, they had invited people to register themselves as translators. Thousands of people did. But I think the mission is moving very slow. People have not really heard from them. But something needs to be on a bigger scale. And once people get into something like Wikipedia, it would really create another model of knowledge creation in Indian languages especially.
What's your sort of ideal vision for Hindi Wikipedia 5 years from now?
Hindi Wikipedia, you know, I want to it to be as rich as any other language Wikipedia. It should be as rich as English Wikipedia, for example. I know it's unrealistic, but that's how ambitious I am about these things. And there's no other way. It has to be. Today or tomorrow it will be. Maybe not 5 years, but I want also it to be a site which becomes a resource for other language Wikipedia, so that it produces stuff which is different, which is deep. Because there's a weird relationship between languages and knowledges that they produce. a certain kind of movement happens in the course of knowledge creation, that certain things get left behind, they get forgotten because they are not recorded, they become irrelevant, etc., etc. Until, you know, some cycle happens in history when we realize, no, you know, we needed that knowledge, but where is it? Some of that gets a continuum, but most of it gets lost. So my vision for Hindi Wikipedia is the same as my vision for Hindi knowledge world in general, that it becomes so inclusive that you can easily hyperlink to, you know, Indian language Wikipedia, even the dialect Wikipedia, you know, the so-called dialects of Hindi Wikipedia, all of them. And you have the Wikipedia in all these languages as well, because Hindi too has developed a kind of distance from its own languages, from its own languages. So I want it to be fairly rich, fairly innovative, and I want it to be up there with all the other, you know, Wikipedia.
Great. I think that's it. Anything you want to say that we didn't capture? No? Great.
We don't have to say the game, same thing. Those things will come out.
Yeah. So, yeah. That's beautiful. Thanks. Good.